In our country, the first national day of Thanksgiving was November the 26th, 1789, proclaimed by then-President George Washington. Many things have come to be connected with Thanksgiving Day, families getting together, the traditional Thanksgiving feast of turkey and dressing, and I know some other people have other things in turkey, but you know, the football games, the afternoon naps. It used to be the start of the Christmas season, but now we've moved that up. Before Halloween, we start Christmas. And of course, you know, Black Friday, which I guess is starting on Thursday now, so we just can't keep things the same. We have to keep moving things around. But let's not miss the meaning of Thanksgiving, a day set aside as defined by Webster. I talked about this in Sunday school, a day set aside to acknowledge and to thank God for all His blessings. This morning, I want to take you to one of the Thanksgiving stories in the Bible. I've entitled my sermon that question that Jesus asked that one healed leper that came back, "Where are the nine? Where are the nine?" The story that we read is a simple and very direct story in what it teaches about the meaning of giving thanks. This story is only told in the book of Luke. And again, I would remind you that the Gospel of Luke was written from the perspective to show Jesus' humanity, to show him as the Son of Man. That phrase is used in the book of Luke compared to the book of John, which shows him as the Son of God. And in the book of John, the phrase the Son of God is used. But Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. That's only recorded in the book of John, not recorded here in the book of Luke. But he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and he was on his way to Jerusalem. He came into a certain village. It's not named, so it could be any of the many towns that were in that part of the world. And he was met by 10 men, 10 of the men that had a leprosy. They were looking for him, because they had heard about his power. They had heard about the miracles that he had performed, the sick people he had made well. They have even heard that he had cured leprosy. And in that day, there was no cure for leprosy. Once you got leprosy, you moved away from your family. You moved to the outskirts of town, and you lived with the others, other lepers, in a leper colony with no contact with healthy people until you died. The Bible says that they stood afar off. They were keeping the law, because that's what Moses wrote in the book of Leviticus. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent or tore, his head bare. He shall put a covering on his upper lip and shall cry, "Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." So when they saw Jesus coming, they stood afar off, because that's what the law was. They were not to come in contact with healthy people. Later in the story, we learn that 9 of these lepers were Jews and 1 was a Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan was a person that was half Jew and half something else. The Jews despised them. The Jews wanted nothing to do with any Samaritan. They called them dogs. They called them half-breeds. And they usually avoided them. They usually made great pains to, like when they were traveling from the north to the south, Samaria was right in the middle. They went around it because they did not want to travel through that particular country. And so isn't it interesting that misery and need always overcomes prejudices? Because there were 9 Jews, 1 Samaritan. They lifted their voices and with a loud voice cried out to Jesus. They said, "Jesus, Master." And what they were calling out were the words, "Savior, Lord." And as Brother Wendell sang a moment ago, if he is your Savior, he is your Lord. Amen. Not by coercion, not because God makes us make Jesus the Lord of our life, but we do that because of the love that he had for us as our Savior. We bow to him as Lord. And so they lifted up their voice and they said, "Have mercy on us. Don't give us what we deserve." If you give us what we deserve, you'll just pass by. If you give us what we deserve, you'll have nothing to do with us like everybody else does. You'll pass by on the other side of the street. You won't even look in our direction. Don't give us what we deserve, but have mercy on us. Because when God extends his mercy to man, something good always happens. And I want you to notice, they weren't asking to be healed. That's what happened to them. They were just asking Jesus to extend his mercy to them. Here's what he said. He said something strange. He said, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now this was a law. When a leper was healed, when he was cured of leprosy, and again, it was only done in a miraculous way because there was no medicine or operation that could take care of leprosy. It had to happen at the touch of God. When you were healed, the law was you went to the priest. The priest examined you and deemed you clean, and you offered some sacrifices and washed. Some of you say that word wrong, but I say it the only word I can, way I can say it, washed. But anyhow, you washed, and then you got to move back home. And so Jesus, he didn't say, be healed. He did not touch them as he did in Luke chapter 5 when he met another leper who came to him and bowed to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I will, and touch them. He didn't touch these 10 men. They were still standing afar off. And yet he said, go show yourselves to the priest. I'm sure as the lepers looked down at their hands, they still saw the open sores. I'm sure they still felt the pain of that disease in their body. I'm sure they still, you know, felt the pus running from those sores. They said, I'm sure some of them might have thought in their mind, why should we go show ourselves to the priest? We're not cured. We have no healing. There's nothing for the priest to examine. We're just as sick as we were before. But Jesus really was their Lord, because they said, even though we don't understand why we should go to the priest, because the Lord said it, we're going to do it. You know what? It's not part of my sermon, but that ought to be the same attitude that we have toward our Lord. We may not understand everything he tells us to do. We may not understand why he wants us to go a certain place or do a certain thing. It may not make any sense to us at all. But if he's Lord, we're going to trust and obey. We're just going to do what God says. That's what these 10 men decided to do. We called him Savior. We called him Lord. He is going to be Lord, even though we don't understand why we should do it. We're just going to do it. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. The moment they took the first step toward the priest, the pain was gone from their body. Their sores were healed up. I mean, the digits they were missing, and maybe a piece of an ear or a piece of a nose. That's what happened when you had leprosy. The extremities fell off. They all came back. They were healed of their leprosy. They now had a reason to go see the priest. And one, the Bible says, and one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, you know, we're too reserved in our praise. In a loud voice, he didn't care who heard it. He didn't care that he was a Baptist, and there may be some people that thought he was a Pentecost because he was shouting so loud. He didn't care about that. He said with a loud voice, praise God. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. He fell on his face before the Lord and gave him thanks. And that's where Jesus asked the question, didn't I heal 10 of your guys? Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Why is there only one back? And he's a Samaritan. Where are the other 9? This morning I have a real simple message. Be the one, not the 9. Be the one, not the 9. This morning, I'm going to give you 3 reasons why sometimes we identify with the other 9 instead of the 1. Why sometimes we are not grateful to God for the wonderful things that he's done in our life. 3 simple reasons why sometimes we're with the 9. Number one, we don't think God needs our thanks. Here's what we say. Well, God's God. He knows I am thankful. I don't have to say it. He knows my heart. He knows my mind. He knows that I am grateful for everything that he's given me. Again, Jesus in the book of Luke was portrayed as the Son of Man. He took on humanity so that he could identify with us. There's not one person here this morning that is satisfied knowing that somebody else is grateful if they don't say it. Sometimes husbands get into this routine. They think, well, my wife knows I'm grateful for everything that she does. And if I'm ever not grateful, I'll tell her. But until then, she just will know. And we never say thank you. You know, that's not right. She may know that you're grateful, but she needs to hear it. Wives sometimes get into this routine. They say, well, my husband knows I'm grateful. I don't need to say it. I can't say thank you for everything he does. He just knows that I'm grateful. Well, there's not a husband here that doesn't like to hear a thank you. Sometimes children get into this routine. Doesn't matter how old they are, from the very youngest to the oldest. Sometimes we get into the routine. We just think, well, my mom and dad, they know I'm grateful. They know I'm grateful for everything they do. They don't need to hear it from me. I want to tell you this morning, yes, they do. Your husband needs to hear it. Your wife needs to hear it. Your parents need to hear it. And so does God. He may know our heart. He may know our mind. He may know that we're grateful. But God likes to hear us say thank you. That's implied in the question that Jesus asked. Where are the nine? We're going to look at a story tonight in Luke chapter 7, where Jesus went to the house of a Pharisee, and the Pharisee did not welcome him by washing his feet, did not welcome him by anointing his head with oil, and a sinner woman comes in. And again, we're going to talk about that story tonight. And she washes the feet of Jesus with her tears. She dries them with her hair. She anoints and kisses his feet, but anoints his feet with the alabaster box that she breaks. And Jesus says to the Pharisee, he says, Simon, I came into your house. You did not give me water to wash my feet. You did not give me a towel to dry them. You did not anoint my head with oil. You did not extend to me the common courtesies that you extend to other people. But this lady came in, she washed my feet with her tears. She dried them with her hair, and she anointed my feet with oil. Again, Jesus wants our thanks. He may know our heart, he may know our mind, he may know that we're grateful, but tell him. Tell him. Don't assume that he knows it. Don't assume that he doesn't want to hear it. He does want to hear it. He wants us to praise his name. He wants us to come before his presence and into his courts with thanksgiving. He wants us to say thank you. And so many times we just assume, well, God already knows, I don't need to tell him. And we identify with the nine. The second reason that we identify with the nine is that it's hard for blessed people to be thankful. You know that? It's hard for us that have been blessed so much. You know, the other nine were Jews. They were God's chosen children. They were part of the family of God back then, under the old covenant, keeping the law and that special relationship that God had with the Jews. And so these other nine, they were Jews. They said, hey, we're part of God's family. We're blessed. We don't need to say thank you. They took the blessing from their God, even though the cure of leprosy was a miracle. They took it for granted, but not this Samaritan. He was hated. The Jews, again, didn't want anything to do. He was an outcast, a double outcast of society. He was outcast because of who he was. He was outcast because of his disease. And when he looked down at his body and he saw all the sores gone and the pain gone out of his body, he knew that something wonderful had happened to somebody that didn't deserve anything. Anything. He knew that God had worked in a mighty way in the life of an outcast. You see, we're blessed. In this country, we are a blessed people. We have a multitude of blessings. We have freedom, and we have provision, and we can do things and be things. We can be anything you want to be in this country. And when all the bills are paid, and the electricity is on. I mean, even when the bills are paid and the electricity is on, like I know some of you suffered this week without power. I mean, and again, when are we grateful for power? Not when we have it, but when we lose it, huh? Not when we have it. How many of you got up 2 weeks ago and said, God, I'm thankful that the power's on this morning? How many of you said it this morning? Maybe some of you that were without it for 3 days, you said this morning, I'm glad it's on. But we take things for granted. It's hard for the blessed to be thankful. But I want to tell you something this morning. We all need to identify with this Samaritan. All of us need the blessings of God. I mentioned in Sunday school, God could take away everything that we hold dear in a second. In a second. And he has every right to do so because he's God. He's God. The blessings that we have from his hand, none of us deserve. None of us. None of us can point up to heaven and say, hey, God, I am deserving of your blessings. You owe me because I'm such a good person. I'm such I do good things. None of us can look to, I mean, there's some pretty good folks in this room. In fact, some of the best Christians I know are in this room this morning. But I want to tell you, none of us deserve any of the blessings that God has given us. We need to be like that leper. We were an outcast. We were an outcast by our birth and by our condition that separated us from God. And if it wasn't for God's goodness, if it wasn't for his goodness, none of us would have what we have today. So sometimes we're with the nine because we think God knows that we're grateful. Sometimes we're with the nine because we're so blessed by God that we take for granted what he's given us. And then I want you to notice one other thing about this Samaritan. One other thing that set him aside from the nine. He was the only one that came back and said thank. And he was the only one that was blessed twice. Did you notice that as we were reading it? He said, and when this leper came back, this healed man came back and fell on his knees and in a loud voice praised God. Here's what Jesus said unto him. He said, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now, when Jesus said whole, he was talking about more than a whole body. Because, you see, when he came back, he was already whole in body. He was already healed in body, just like the other nine. I mean, all 10 of them were healed. Their leprosy was completely gone. And when he turned around and came back to Jesus, his body was as healed as it was going to be. There was no more healing that was going to take place. I mean, he was cured 100%. When Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole, he was not only talking about physical wholeness, he was talking about spiritual wholeness. Amen. Jesus said, you came back to me. You fell at my feet. You said thank you. Or you worship me as Lord. You can get up and leave because your faith has made you spiritually whole. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How are we saved? We're saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. The other nine were healed in their body. Praise God, that was a miracle to be cured of leprosy. But this one was not only healed in his body, he was healed in his soul. And I want to tell you something, that was a greater miracle than the bodily healing. You see, one day this body's going to die. One day this body, my body's going to lie in a tomb. One day it's going to decay and it'll go back to the earth. But I have a soul and so do you. And that soul's going to live forever. I'm glad that most of us enjoy the physical health that we do in our bodies. But I want to tell you this morning, what's more important is the health of your soul. Amen. Your soul needs to be whole. Your soul needs to be cured from the sickness of sin. And the only cure that's available for your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No other way. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. No man gets right with God. Nobody gets into the family of God that we sang about a moment ago, other than coming through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we've all sinned. The Bible says the penalty for that sin is to be separated from God. But the Bible also says that the gift of God, the gift of God, so undeserved, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you have that this morning? How's your soul? Is it whole? I want to tell you, Jesus can make it whole this morning. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why he died on the cross, to pay the price of your sin, to heal your soul, to make you right with God. And all you have to do this morning is come and get it. Just come and get it. Just tell the Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty of sin to be separated from you. But I believe that Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary, died for me. And right now I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to be my Savior. I'm asking you to make me part of your family. And the Bible says that if you'll do that, he'll do it. If you'll ask him, he'll save you. He'll make you part of the family. He'll forgive your sins. He'll clothe you in the righteousness of Christ. You can stand before God this morning whole. Whole. Whole through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to do that, I can't think of a better day than right now, this day, at this time, 8 minutes after 12, December the 24th, 2013. I can't think of a better day to do it. The Bible says today's the day. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you haven't done it, would you do it this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this one that was an example to us of what we should be in our thanks towards you. And I pray for those that are here this morning that do not know Jesus as their Savior. I pray that in the quietness of this moment, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to their heart, that you would show them their need for Jesus. You would show them that the price that he paid on Calvary for their sin is sufficient. It pays for everyone. It pays for all in total. And if they just come to Jesus, he would save them. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you would speak to that man, that woman, that teenager, those that are here that have never asked Christ to save them, that Holy Spirit, you would speak to them. And this morning, they'd simply do what these lepers said. They trust and obey, and they come to Christ. Father, for the Christians that are here, help us to know that you want our thanks. Help us to know that every good and perfect gift cometh down from you, and without you we would have nothing and we deserve nothing. But Father, because of your goodness, because of who you are, you've showered your blessings on us. Help us to be a grateful people. I pray, Father, you bless this invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.